In the mysterious games, placing ingredients on the grid feels like a high-stakes game of Tetris where the prize is a better healing item.
True. It's all about maximizing those color bonuses and overlapping the right shapes.
Yep, if someone told me I had to spend hours in gridlock, I'd much prefer this over being stuck in traffic.
Very true. You know, anytime I loaded one of those games up after work, I knew my evening was shaping up to be a good one.
I know, I was surprised when I started the game to find that Firis carries her entire laboratory inside a magical tent, making her the ultimate nomadic scientist.
I mean, it is the perfect solution for an alchemist who can't decide where to settle down.
True, I always found her really intent on making progress.
Her career was definitely always on the move.
Beerus was also so obsessed with seeing the world that she walked across an entire continent just to find a specific type of dirt.
She definitely has the most outdoorsy vibe of any alchemist in the franchise.
She's a real trailblazer in the field of alchemy.
After forever locked in that cave she grew up in, her adventures really soiled her reputation as a homebody.
Then we have the twins, Leedy the studious, quiet one, whilst Sue is the energetic run-and-gun sister who prefers pistols to potions.
Yep, they're the classic duo that balances the brains and the brawns of the operation.
They're definitely a double dose of trouble for the local monsters.
Yep, and the two of them take a very systemic approach to alchemy.
Whether it's the open world, the magical paintings, or the Kimco spin-off, the series always finds a way to make chemistry fun.
Now, it's been a few years now, and the Atelier series still feels fresh every time April rolls around and we talk about it.
It's definitely the perfect catalyst for a long-running obsession.
And the perfect formula for another great podcast episode.
And spoofy. Kemco makes them loopy. The Backtrack family. Their podcast is a blast. Talking games from the past. They break down every class. The Backtrack family.
Beat. Defeat. Complete.
They trash things they abhor. And praise things they adore. They never are a bore. The Backtrack family.
Hello and welcome to RPG Backtrack, your regular deep dive into your favorite RPGs. We are a production of RPGamer.com, bringing you such fine podcasts like RPG Cast, your weekly RPG news show, Q&A Quest, your weekly RPG feedback show, and us, your bi-weekly RPG nostalgia show. I am your host, Kelly Ryan, and with me, as always, my podcast partner in crime, the Sewell to my lighty, Mr. Matt Mason.
Oh, I'm just a Mary Sue.
I'm sorry, I didn't play these games, so I just picked the blend with the two dual protagonist.
That would be the way to go. I
I
couldn't
wanted
really
to
tell you many of the other unmemorable people in the parties in these games, so.
I wanted to play these games, but I heard they weren't very good. At least
Oh, nope. I'm
Fyrus
gonna be
wasn't.
defending him.
Okay.
I'm
Now
defending one of them.
I will say I got to play the DX versions, the most, up to date ones. So there's some benefits to that.
And those
As
are.
opposed to the Vita ones, which were don't not so great.
I do have the DX versions of these, thanks to the Switch and the mini Koei Tecmo sale, or Koei Tecmo. Wow, that was a Freudian. Koei Tecmo sales.
There you go. Knowing that we were going to do these this year, I spent like $97 on importing the physical copy of all three of these.
Oh, excellent.
You can, I'm sure maybe a price roundup you'll tell us later how cheap you can get them these days, but it's pretty good.
I know the Switch versions of them kind of got really hard to find and really expensive, because this was at about that time when the Switch was really taking off and everybody was like, Switch port? Switch port when? Because this is honestly the perfect series for it. Just sitting in front of your TV doing alchemy and chilling out.
Or laying
And
in
it's
bed
a
with it on my lap, doing it.
yeah, it's a game, since it's turn-based, it works really well as a portable game as well.
Plus, you have a big enough memory card, you could load practically the entire Atelier series to it, like I did, and just binge the series while you're on vacation.
Well, Koei
Oh yeah,
Tecmo and
they
Gust are always happy to re-release their series out on every platform possible.
Yeah, I was gobsmacked when I was looking up stuff and saw that these had day and date PC releases in the US. And we don't want to talk about those PC releases as they were Jane. And Michael Baker, God bless him, he played Sophie on PC and he even wrote a review for it. It was hell for him. Because that was at the time where like they were figuring out how to port those games, but not necessarily support those games. So take that information with what you will.
Lovely.
Poor Japanese RPG PC ports. Always seems like they get the short end of the stick.
We're in a
It's
much
because
better
they.
place now than we were, four or five years ago.
I was going to say,
True.
those were the before times.
Yes.
It seemed like that was when they were less started. I don't want to say starting to trickle in, but were more prominent. It wasn't like a fluke like it used to be. And I think the Valkyria Chronicle port for Steam kind of helped with that.
Oh yeah, that game just exploding kind of like generated a lot of interest in them.
So, we shall take a brief musical break and then we'll just dive right in. And welcome back to RPG Backtrack, where we are talking about Atelier Fearis, released for PS4, Vita, and PC simultaneously in the US on March 7th, 2017, and then on Switch later on April 22nd. Did I mess that up? 2021? I thought it was much sooner than that.
It came out, I believe, in 2017.
I think I might have accidentally pasted something else. I know the Switch
That might have
release
been the
wasn't.
DX release, I
Yeah.
wonder.
Okay. Yeah. My bad.
I'm looking at my review because I had the review copy, and yeah, I published it apparently March 8th, 2017.
Yeah, I was must have been looking at something else when I put that in the sheet, but
Yep, that is. That's the date the DX version came
Switch.
out.
The Switch DX version, yeah, is the 2021.
But regardless, I remember that version being getting expensive really quick because people really wanted that version as opposed to apparently the Vita version, which was the only other portable option, and I'm told isn't that good.
We'll get to that. There's a reason I haven't played much of this entry.
Yeah, and I bought this version, but unfortunately I didn't touch it. Partly because I heard it wasn't that good, and partly because I just never got to it. So, tell me about this game. Why does it suck?
So it Fearless is a weird game because it has some phenomenal ideas that are just marred by bad execution.
It's like, too big for its britches.
It truly is. I mean, this is truly the first open world Atelier game, and it shows. Like, the world was not that interesting to actually explore. The maps were really confusing a lot of the time. And again, I played the PS4 version, so wayfinding was just not a thing in it. And I don't know if that ever got updated in the other versions, but I remember being incredibly frustrated with how easy it was to turn myself around or get lost. And maybe that was intentional. Maybe they wanted me to have wanderlust, but I spent most of it yelling, right? And feeling spoiled later on in life, you know, playing Ryza, which Ryza does open world right. And then we get to Yumiya. It does open world right. I mean, Yumiya really is just Assassin's Creed. I'm going to say it. It's an Assassin's Creed sandbox. Much. And you know what? I'm fine with that. But here, it's abundantly clear that, like, they didn't know how to do it. Like, they knew they wanted to, but they didn't look at source materials to figure out how to do a good open world game.
Well, I mean, in fairness to them, Gust isn't the largest team in the world, and they're churning one of these games out every single year.
Absolutely. So
they
don't,
this isn't a game that has the time in the oven like an Assassin's Creed does.
No, and I get that, but at the same time, it's to its disservice.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's one of those games where it's like, again, there is a good idea here. And yet, because you're turning them out so fast, you're just like, what makes this one different? Open world. Okay, but do you understand how an open world game works? And the answer was 999% no. Like, again, you want to have interesting nodes to go between. You know, when I think of an open world game, even around this time, like, you think about having interesting places to stop, you know, interesting quests so that it keeps it engaging. And Fearless kind of doesn't have that because the story beats are just so few and far between. Like, you'll go through periods where you barely interact with the story. And it's almost like they couldn't, again, figure out their footing in terms of how they wanted to do the story. And the sad part is, that's, I think, why it suffers so much, because Fearless is an interesting character. She's leaving home. She's coming from a mining village where she's never left. And she wants to explore the world, and she wants to do wonderful things for people. But she's also surrounded by an incredibly bland secondary cast. A really obsessive sister.
Oh, boy.
Who borderlines in a way sometimes that I'm like, girl, pump the brakes. And her whole, like, task, it's just not compelling. And in a lot of ways reminds me of, it's trying to almost rehash Rorona, but without the time constraints. And I just...
Oh, hold on. You do have a big time constraint in Fearless.
You do, but it's not... It never felt as immediate to me the way Rorona was.
No, I will say, I let myself feel it that way. And what do you have? 365 days? You have a full year.
Yeah.
When you, the beginning of the game, you've been living in a cave your whole life. She's just, you know, as one does, growing up in a cave and never being part of the outside world. And she doesn't want to get out there. And when she does, they're like, all right, you know, you got to become a licensed alchemist in 1 year, or back home you go and you get locked in here forever. Which, so, like, you have 365 days.
PTSD in a bunker. Good job, guys. Yep.
Yeah. Bunker girl here. I know. When I felt the pressure the entire time, and when I won, I had 100 days left. So I don't know why I felt the pressure, but I did, and it was stupid. And you're right. It's not that pressing. But not knowing, like, how much is left, I think that was what I was like, oh, my God, I've already used 100 days. Like, where am I? It's a big open world. You can kind of see a map of, like, where you're headed, but you have no idea, like, how many zones are between you and there.
Yeah.
So
no,
it's kinda
absolutely.
Like, I think I'm halfway, but, and then, golly, maybe we'll get to it in a bit, but there's a place I just got stuck at for like 100 days.
Yeah, this is a weird game in just also like how it presents time. Because you're right, I'm thinking back to it, and I remember like mildly freaking out about how much time I had, but also at the same time going, it always feels like more time is actually passing than it is. And again, maybe that
Correct.
has to do with, again, the waypoints between story beats and whatnot. But I just remember like having moments of panic and then having moments of going, wait, why does that matter? The game hasn't told me why this
Because
matters, right? So,
it doesn't.
because it doesn't. And I think that is such a drawback. Furious is a sweetheart who deserved better than what she got. And like, that is so hard for me to say because I think she's actually a really fun protagonist. She's the mole girl with her really cute little like tent that she can take anywhere and you can have pop-up atelier time. So it's like if you just want to stop in the middle of the map and be like, I'm gonna make some shit, you can. And I love that. It was such a cool concept.
The animations for that were great, yeah.
They were adorable. She's adorable. And she's in a
Oh,
bad game.
she's like one of my favorite parts of our second game we're going to talk about, Lydia and Sue.
Oh, she is one of the best parts. She is, absolutely. Like, one of the things that I encountered, which also may have marked my experience, and I know Josh had it way worse than I did, but there was a lot of technical issues on the PS4 version when I reviewed it. Like, tons of slowdown, clipping. Like, again, it was one of those games where if they'd just taken a little extra time to smooth those things out, again, it wouldn't have made the experience so bad. And from what Josh has told everybody, the Vita version's worse.
The Vita version may very well be technically the worst game I've ever played. It was utterly, practically unplayable. I can't ever remember playing a game with such bad. I'm not usually someone where frame rate is a problem, but I mean, this game at times would just kind of be like a slideshow. I mean, truly just like a few frames per second, just kind of juddering around, no real animation. It was continually crashing, especially out on the open world. You'd go and you'd get into a battle and it would just start, nope, crash. You'd have to reload. And I have truly never played, certainly never played any game, never even played a Vita game that had such poor performance. And this was right. Gust had gotten bought by Koei Tecmo, I don't know what it was, a few years prior. And I think this was the very first game where they had kind of swapped engines. They had been using kind of their own kind of like custom internal engine, and they were swapping over to this Koei Tecmo engine. And that was part of the thing, is like I had no clue because Sophie played fine on the Vita. And they put this game out there, and you buy it because you're like, oh, I've been playing Atelier games on the Vita I've played seven different Atelier games on the Vita. This is fine. And you buy this game, and it was just total and utter garbage. Completely
Oof.
unexpected.
Yeah.
I mean, that it tells you if you're having performance problems on the PS4, you know it's not going to be good on the Vita.
No. I get sad when I think about this one. Just there was just so many interesting ideas. I'm like, how do you get so many things wrong? Like I remember even the battle system was just really boring. Like it just didn't have the fun or the charm of what we're going to talk about next. Or even Sophie. Like just again, this girl got the short end of the stick. I mean, the Tetris part is still good. That I do remember. But I don't remember there being like huge changes between Furious and Sophie and Furious. Like Matt, you probably can speak better on that, having played all of them so close together.
I want to say Furious. I finally got to like turn things a little earlier
Yeah.
and rotate stuff because that's kind of a part of this, because you are literally playing Tetris in all of these games for the putting ingredients in. Each ingredient has a shape and you're putting it in there, and if you cover more of this area or whatever. But with Furious, I feel like I got to the point where I could flip shapes, because I feel like they all start out, you can't rotate your shape, you can't flip it or anything. Like the first couple hours, you're just putting shapes in, and where they fit, they fit. Eventually, Sophie will talk about that one in 2 weeks, but you get different cauldrons that allow you to do stuff. Furious, I think you like leveled up your alchemy, and suddenly you could turn shapes or flip them, so now you could fit them in better in between the other shapes.
Sounded like the
I'm.
alchemy system was very addictive.
Oh, it
That
was, in
was
all,
truly the
yeah.
best part. like in all of the games in the series, the alchemy was definitely one of the more robust and unique. Mm-hmm. It was just a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to layer like different things on top of each other just to see what you could make or how you could overpower something. And again, Sophie, Fierce, and Lidi and Sue, that synthesis system really grows between the three games, like adding like just enough differences, but still keeping that addictive quality where you just want to sit and synthesize instead of doing anything else.
100%.
Because I will admit, my least favorite thing about the recent one, Yumiya, was the alchemy.
Yeah.
And that felt weird.
It did, and I'll tell you what I loved about that was how good the auto alchemy in that one was. It was, I almost turned it over like, hey, alchemy, no, Jesus, take alchemy the wheel. Was magic.
Yeah. But, and that is a disappointing element to
correct
them, again, trying something new in the current formula, right? My hope, I mean, truthfully, with the newer games, especially like if we get another one in Yumiya's world, is just that they find a better way to bring back the addictive quality of alchemy, but also keep that really interesting battle system.
Yeah. I mean,
you need to make that harder, though.
Yes, I am noticing because I have not finished it yet. It's quite easy.
Oh yeah. I hit level caps halfway through any great zone. But we'll talk more about Yumiya next year.
Yeah, it's just kind of fascinating how it sounds like Fierce is an open world game, but with a really disappointing everything else. But the alchemy was great, and Yumiya was almost the exact opposite.
Yeah, you put the Fierce alchemy in the Yumiya overworld, and yeah, you'd have.
Well, and I mean, the other thing I will say about this game is, I remember when I posted my review, I got like a comment. It must have been like weeks after I posted it, and someone was like, you know, you didn't play the whole game. It gets better after you beat like the main quest. And I remember being like, no, if the game is not fun and I have gotten 2 credits, why would I want to go and play more of this game? Like, the game doesn't do a good job of selling its additional half. Which I know before we started the cast, we were having a really good conversation about that, where it's fine to have like extra content or, you know, say that it's still more game. But if your game's not compelling, what makes you think I want to go and actually like complete the rest of it? At the time, it was funny because when I was reviewing this one, our RPG fans reviewer of the Atelier games was Derek Heemsbergen, who now localizes Pokemon games for a living. And I remember we were just messaging each other through Twitter being like, so how you doing with it? And him going, this is the suckiest suck that ever sucked. And I was like, yeah, I'm like, did you also finish like beyond the main game? And he was like, no, he's like, because it's the worst Atelier game I've ever played. And he actually never finished the one we're going to talk about next, whereas I finished it well. How many years later? Almost 10?
Whoa, Derek gave this a 65? I didn't even know that was on RPG fan scale.
Yeah. No, it's one of the rarities that you see on their site, because Derek and I, like, it's funny. Derek and I, when it came to reviewing the games, because we were always reviewing them side by side, we were always almost the same. And again, I don't know if that speaks to just our personalities or what we wanted from the games, but our scores almost always matched in some way. And like me, I mean, he then began to experience the great Atelier burnout of 2018.
I think we all experienced it.
It's hard not to. I mean, like, it's amazing the way they're able to turn out a game every single year, but you play an Atelier game every single year. It's hard for the formula to not get a little bit, you know, go a little bit stale for you.
I've played
unless
like
your
10
name's
of
Matt.
3 years. Yeah, I was going to say. other than Iris, like, you know, 15, 20 years ago or 20 plus years ago. No, I hadn't. What did I start with? The boy and the girl in the Dusk series.
Yeah,
I started with that one 3 years ago and then into like just 10 others in 2.5 years. And
yeah, you took all my Atelier reviewing duties off my hands for a bit.
You're welcome. And
I'm glad
there's a little
pause
now. I was
in bad burnout.
And I played through all four Mysterious games, and I'm going to get Nelki done before we talk again in 2 weeks. So this is going to be like 5 games here in about 5 months. So this may be my Atelier burnout, because at this point I'm like, okay, I have other games I need to play.
The Mysterious sub-series
this has been my
problem.
Backtrack homework for the year. All these things, and whew,
yeah.
I'm going to be done with it.
You're going to be done with that.
But, I mean, I will also say, coming to it this late, I get to play all the DX versions. I haven't had the, the graphical glitches, any problems with it from a mechanical standpoint. But, no, this game is, I see Derek gave it a 65. What did you give it, a 2.5 or a 3? 2.5?
Yeah, 2.5.
And see, I would give this a 3 to 3.5. If we had, like, 3.25, that's where I'd put it on our scale. It is, and even just talking about the rest of the series too, and in general, it is just a smidge over average. But I played this game and beat it in 5 days and haven't looked back. So, I mean, we've kind of hinted at it, but basically what I've said is, Fyrus grew up in a cave. Her sister's out there hunting monsters and bringing meat back to the people and resources and trading with people. Basically, she's the cave city's like one link to the outside world, and finally you get to go because somebody blasts their way into the cave, just like, oh hey, what's happening? So your parents eventually let you leave, and yeah, you're given a year, like, hey, if you're gonna really do this alchemy thing, you got like 1 year to prove yourself. Go off to alchemy college, win it, and then you can stay out there. If not, you're failed and you're back here and you're the cat lady, cat cave lady, I don't know. But you go out there, and yeah, it's open world, although, the time that it is, it isn't like Yumiya, where it's like feels all open. I mean, there's a big spot when you got to, go to a loading screen to the next spot, but you can go anywhere except past that goddamn town with the lake with the tornado in it. eventually you get across that tornado, or what is it, the water spout. But really, you can go anywhere, and it shows you, your cave's way up in the upper left of the world, and the city that you got to go make your pass the exam in is at the bottom right of the world, and there's your counter right there, 365 days, go. So, I mean, I kind of wanted to at least go straight there. I probably left half the world unexplored. I know there were cities and all these other things that I was looking, I'm like, oh, I could go that way, but I really want to get down there just to make sure I have enough time and everything. And then it took so long to get down there. There was a city in the middle of the world that sat on a big lake. And you kept getting told you can't get across the lake in the boat. There's a huge water spout there being caused by whatever, and you can't get across it. So you have to do a million frickin' quests there to befriend people, to open a shop, or help them open their shop, to make materials, to blah, 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 strengthen the ship. You got to make enough stuff. You're making metal. You're making new engines so the ship can just plow through this freaking water spout and everything. And no lie, I spent 100 of my days in that one city.
That was a pain in the butt. Yeah.
Yep.
No, that whole section was so
pacing,
poorly designed.
Yep. That whole pacing just stopped. Like, I was like, oh, I'm making great time. And, like, again, I finished the game with 100 days left, so I still had tons of time. But, so 265 days of exploring, I probably stayed in that frickin' city for 100 days. It was so bad. Just so, like, this makes me mad. I'm supposed to be walking, moving.
Doing shit.
I have
shit.
A pop-up tent for a reason. Not to, like, become a resident here for 3 months.
And then you did.
And then I did.
But, like, in all honesty, and when we talk in the next, backtrack about the two Sophie games, like, again, there is such a yo-yo of quality between all four of them. this one's just such a hard game to recommend. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm glad the DX version fixes a lot of things. But even knowing that, like, I admit I have no desire to go back to Fyrus. It took
no.
me a long time to even want to try playing Sophie 2, and by extension, Lady and Soul. So I don't know, like this one to me just is such a fail.
Oh,
And
and
it's a
what you were
shame.
saying, it is. Because what you were saying later, you were saying earlier is, after the game ends, then you have unlimited time. You can go explore the world and go explore all those other towns and do stuff. But why? Just because you love what you've played so far, I
And that's
guess.
it. It needed the
And if
love
you,
part.
yeah. And like I said, it's just an average game. Like, okay, I finished it. I rolled credits. I became a licensed alchemist. Yay. The end. Like that,
The
I
end,
didn't.
exactly.
Yeah, I did what it said to do. There was no reason to go to another city in the Northwest, or the Northeast, or whatever. I never heard about it. Nobody ever said anything. Nobody's like, oh man, have you heard that, they need this here or whatever. There was no pressing reason to go there other than you could.
Don't you
Yep.
want to fill out the map?
Correct. Fill out the
Nope.
map. That was it. Yep.
Nope. Give me a reason to care about filling out the
I
map.
was sitting here thinking about it today, and I'm like, the Arland games, all of them, even though they're not the Arland and the Dusk games, even though they're not necessarily telling one gigantic story, there are things that kind of tie them together. And each game is kind of teaching you more about the world, and they're kind of building up, and you get to explore a little bit more about the world in each one of the games. And I was trying to think about that in the Mysterious games, and I was struggling. Like, I could not remember anything about the world. Was that, like, was there any progression really about it between the games? They were much more self-contained, smaller stories, and I think that would maybe was, at least for me, was like to his detriment.
I would say the ties were the
Other than
gameplay more than anything else.
the gameplay and the fact that they all appeared in each other's games. Like, you get to
Yeah.
the town, Fierce gets to the town, and it's like, oh hey, Sophie's here. Like, he's already passed the exam. Isn't Sophie like the final like boss for the exam or something like that? Or she's one of
Yeah.
them. She's one of your trials. Because even getting to that town, you have to do a lot of stuff at that final town. That was like another 50 days of gameplay there to get powered up and to do the whatever and to get through the trials to become a licensed alchemist.
Yeah.
So, the fact that, and yeah, Sophie's there. There was somebody else there that you met along the way that's part of, I think it was the one of the ones that you're stuck with forever in the that middle town on the water, or maybe not.
I don't remember the like again, that's the other thing. The characters in Fierce, other than her
Oh yeah, who are
sister,
they?
they are so not memorable in any way, shape, or form. And I do think, seeing how poorly like Fierce had as a reception, I think that's why I had so much trepidation playing the next game. And I think it was because I was like, well, like there's there they didn't do anything interesting here. What makes me think like that I can trust them to make all the things I like about the Atelier games appear in this game? Right. And again, I play them because, like, I like cute girls who are learning how to self-improve themselves. Right. And it's frustrating, too, because these are the mysterious sub-series. And the mystery in Fierce is so lame. It's not an interesting thing. And, thinking about what ties them all together, I think the only thing that I can come up with like as like a tying theme is all four games focus on dreams, both in the metaphorical sense and in the like actual
Literal.
sense, the literal
Yeah.
sense, right?
Yep.
And that's like the only thing I can kind of think of, because all of them also have an LNS actually probably has this the least. There's also a huge sense of wanderlust
Yeah.
in these ones. But it's not written in a strong way. And that's where it's funny because when you play Lady and Soul and Sophie 2, you see like they kind of backpedal a little bit on that. And it becomes more about dreams specifically. Whereas like Sophie 1 was about her being like, I want to go discover how I can help Plakta. Right? And Fierce is, how do I help my community? Noble goals for both of them, but the stories are not strongly written enough to convey those things, I think. Whereas I think Lady and Soul and Sophie 2 do a much better job of making their stories compelling enough that it encompasses all the themes that the series is known for. Hot take.
I mean, I like that thing about the series, that it's not necessarily the world is ending and you must defeat the great evil. I like that it's telling smaller stories. I think here it almost got a little too, you know.
Too small.
It was too small.
Too small, yeah.
Absolutely too small.
You're right. I mean, it feels weird when they throw in the big stuff, like the town I spent 100 days in was, you know, like their whole town was like becoming ravaged because they couldn't trade with people across the other side of the town, the place. And it was just like this. I was like, wait, I thought I was just trying to get over there and do something. Like, why am I, where did this frickin' twister come from? And why is it like a big problem with half the world at this point?
Yeah. Again, I think if the story had been more focused about the importance of helping community as opposed to what they were attempting with her wanting to become independent, essentially, or show how independent she was, I think there could have been more strength. And that area that you keep talking about, like, it is such a detriment to that game, and I'm now having horrible flashbacks.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like, and the game does such a poor job of even telling you what to do that you're just like, give me a reason to care, please. I am desperate. Like, you know? But yeah, is there anything else we want to say about Feerus? Like, basically, it's the bad one of the four games.
$40 on Steam.
Oh, that goes way down.
This entire series, including not just the Mysterious but the whole series, goes on sale regularly for like $20 each.
I want to say these go even cheaper than that because they're all-time low, $20 on Switch.
Furious is only worth, I would say, $10. I don't think it's worth 20. I don't think it was worth the price it came out at. I think it was just so half-baked. $10 or less, man.
It's like there's something to be said about letting a game cook, because I said it about SMT when, or Shin Megami Tensei, when it started going annual release. It's like these games have just dipped in quality. And unfortunately, the Atelier series in this trilogy went that same route. The way you describe it, it feels like they were trying so hard to get a game out every year that they just shit this one out.
Yeah.
I think the concept was just bigger than what they could actually accomplish in the time they had. You know, they were trying to create an open world for the very first time, and on such a tight timeline, it's kind of inevitable that it ends up being a little, you know, like a little bland, lacking in things to do, lacking in giving you a good reason to go forward. Maybe didn't get enough time to polish that Vita version, make it playable.
never, Josh. Never going to be playable.
I feel like that Vita version was just somebody will want this.
It was a, well, we probably need to put it out on Vita to sell some copies in Japan. that I think that's what it was. You know, it came out in that awkward time where they still had to have one to have something to sell in Japan.
Yep, and you and Mac were the only people who bought it in English.
Yeah, I think so. Wasn't it only digital only here in the U.S.? Yep.
I would not doubt that. Yeah,
it was the main reason why I didn't buy it on Vita, and I'm glad that I didn't. Now
you are so fortunate. Do not buy this on Vita. Absolutely not.
Because it never even went on. I don't even think it ever went on sale on Vita either. Otherwise, I probably would have.
They're helping people out with that one.
That's fair.
Matt, would you say that Feerus hobbled so that Yumiya could run?
I mean, yeah, they took a step there, and Yumiya runs. Holy cow, does she ever. She got long legs. It's easy to run.
Because I don't know about the next game and how open world it is.
It's not.
Okay. No. So they didn't try even attempt open world again until Yumiya.
Well, no, because again, some of the Ryza 3 is,
I mean, the Ryza
more
games
open world.
Are. Yeah, I would say the Ryza games are as open as this one is, really.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
You can go so many places, and golly, by the time we got the Rise of Three, and it just had all the areas from like all the
all the
first
games,
game, and then added like triple that. There were places I never went to because it was like there's no reason to go there because there's so much. I don't need to keep going there, and
it's
I know
so
there's
big.
not. Yeah, there's not as many materials. Like there's only so many materials in this game. I'm just gonna keep pushing forward. I don't need to go do every side quest to every area, but. No, I mean, I would say, you know, this probably led to more of what Ryza 1 and 3 were, and then on to Yumiya. Yeah.
That makes sense. So, our next game in this series, Atelier Lydie and Sue? Sue? Lydie and
Sue? I think.
Sue.
So no pun.
Just call her Sue.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to call her Lydie
call
and
her
Sue.
Call her Sue, because believe it or not, they barely remember that that's her full name. They call her Sue.
Yep.
Lydian Sue released March 27th, 2018 worldwide for Switch, PS4, and PC.
No Vita
version. Well, at least not in English. I think they realized that the Vita was kind of done over here.
Well, that the Furious version left a pretty sour taste in the handful of people like me who bought it.
Because when did the Switch come out? 2017?
Question mark?
I think so.
Yeah, so once the Switch kind of had its foothold, that was the portable system, and we didn't get hardly any Vita stuff anymore after that. R.I.P. I loved you little system, but nobody else did. At least not on our staff.
Oh, I loved the Vita.
No. I meant like our staff loved the Vita, but not
many. No, and nobody else did. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, that was my baby. I took it everywhere.
I adored my Vita. I still adore my Vita. I just have no reason to play it anymore.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, I got back into the series by playing Esha and Magi on that.
Yay.
Good Vita port.
Yeah, that was a good Vita port. Shall I talk about these girls?
Yeah, I didn't even get a chance to ask how did Ferris run on Switch?
It was fine.
Okay, that
I mean, well, the DX one was fine.
Okay.
I know it came out. Did it originally come out on Switch too, or the original? Did it come out on Switch also?
I don't
the
think
non
so.
DX
I think
version?
It was the DX versions were the
first
Switch.
Versions. Okay. Yeah, the DX ran fine.
Yeah, it's the DX
problems.
Ones for Switch. So there you go.
So I imagine that this one ran just fine too.
Oh yeah, this ran perfect.
Cool. And what did we all play this on? Did we all play this on Switch or was one
no.
of us?
No, PS4 when it came out.
Okay. Yes, and I was also PS4 when we did our recent review. I mostly play things on PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the Atelier reviews I've done over the years have always been a Sony console.
Gotcha.
I have not really reviewed any of them on other platforms. So, yeah.
The one nice thing about playing the PS4 versions I've found is that because it's the less preferred version, you can find physical copies for pretty cheap because Amazon just wants to get rid of them, especially nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, really, there's no performance problems between the two versions, so you might as well just go for that deep discount.
Well, again, honestly, having finished Lydie and Sue back in March, it was like night and day to Furious. I really didn't get any technical issues with it. Again, Atelier games are known for things like random pop-ins and stuff. You just expect that. But like performance-wise, everything ran really smoothly. And like, this is a game that has such a fantastic concept, and I loved it. And it's funny because, I mean, when the game came out in 2018 and we got a review code, I had to actually admit to myself that I had hit Atelier burnout, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't review it. I was just like, I don't have it in me. I was so mad about Furious, like just how bad it was, that my brain just went, well, I can't trust them right now. I can't. And it was Matt. Matt was the one who actually encouraged me to try Lydie and Sue. I knew you were having a really good time with it on the Switch. And I said, you know what? Well, if this is going to be my backtrack homework, then I want to trust in Matt in hopes that this is actually worth my time. And I was very, very hesitant, if you remember.
You were like, oh, I'm going to take a baby step. I probably won't get through all of it. Now you said many of those messages. I'll get through enough of it. I'll get through enough of it.
And I didn't. I blitzed it.
Yep.
So yeah, this is one of those games where I think because it follows such a poor game that I don't think a lot of people gave this one the time of day. And it has some great ideas. It has some great ideas. Oh, yeah. It has, finally, one of the things it gets right is it has really fun characters. And that is on top of just the protagonists themselves are really fun. They're also the youngest protagonists you encounter in the series. They're 14. Mm-hmm. And their rival is 14. And she's crazy.
Oh, she,
and I love her. Lucy
was at
is
one
a
point the
character.
The puppet, was it the puppet guy?
Yes.
Needs her to pose for the evil puppet because she's the perfect model for it.
No, and the way in which these characters play off of each other, it harkens back to the older games in a really fun way. Because you have two protagonists, and here's the thing, they both play very differently. Leedy is very much the healer. Like, she is absolutely the magic character. And Sue has guns for unknown reasons.
Dual guns.
Why,
right?
Again, she's a 14-year-old girl. How did she get her gun license?
She's got dual guns. Yep.
Yeah, I need answers. Because a 14-year-old girl should not have dual pistols. And she's not afraid to use them.
Also, maybe we didn't need as much Leedy side boob in her outfit.
She has no boobs. That's what makes it even weirder. Like, this is a 14-year-old girl. Why are we getting side boob? Like, no, thank you. I mean, it doesn't help that by the other side of it, Dorsal has too much boob and to the point where she looks like she's falling out of things. That would be the puppet master's daughter.
Daughter, yeah.
Like, she's just got the huge jugs that just, she looks like she's in pain. So this game doesn't understand boobs. Like, it's up there with the Ryza games for...
I was going to say Ryza. They always had
series.
Somebody from the other dimension, and they were all, like, gigantic. Yep.
Yes, everybody had big knockers. This game was like, we don't actually want consistency, but we're going to make you uncomfortable no matter what. Like, Leedy having no boobs but an exposed, like, side. I will say that kind of gave me the ick. I think she deserved a better outfit. Mm-hmm. Especially because her sister has such a dainty looking outfit.
Oh yeah, her sister is like in a lovely little green dress. All you know.
Oh my goodness! Like, Sue is funny. She is a funny main character, and a lot of it is because she doesn't actually care about alchemy. She just wants to shoot shit. That's all she wants to do.
They also want to eat. They're like depicted. They're like super duper poor.
They are.
They're like, oh, what are we going to eat today? Like, no food for us.
What are we going to eat? And you also learn that their dad's like a super deadbeat dad.
Oh, yeah. Deadbeat dad. He's, I can't remember what he spends money on, or is he just not work? He's always down there.
He spends money on food and dumb stuff. Because a lot of them like, what did you spend money on? Oh, I bought this and this, and then I ate this, and you didn't share? No. And like, he makes you do quests.
Oh,
and
yeah.
His quests are always really stupid. Like, one of the quests you get in the game from their dad is make a money tree.
Yeah.
And he's like, if we make this money tree, it means we'll have infinite money. And he's like, Dad, I don't think that's how that works. And he's like, infinite monies! And then you make the tree, and then you find out that the only way it can survive is if you keep feeding it gold.
Yeah, yeah.
So the plant dies in the game. I just thought that was brilliant. I was like, this is the get-rich-quick scheme Atelier version. And I mean, that's his response to everything. He is so all over the place. And the game does a good job of kind of sharing, like, why their family's in disarray and why their dad is just mentally actually not okay.
Well, I mean, and the reason is Mom died.
Yes.
When they were young.
We've had this before in the series.
Yep.
Yep, we got another dead mom.
And at one point, they promised their mother they would become the best alchemists in the entire country. And as the game kicks off, it's like by the second chapter, once you introduce everybody, you get to know the prince and the princess of the local, the capital town you live in.
I
And
love
they,
them.
yes, they're great. They start a atelier ranking system, because there's all of two ateliers in the town.
Soon to
Let's
be
rank you
three.
guys.
As you
Yes,
go
yes,
further,
yes.
three,
Yep.
then
But
four.
you get ranked. You start out at rank G, and you got to get up to the you actually
The
start out as
S rank.
unranked. You got to get to G, and you got to get to S rank. So, I mean, that's pretty much the pace of it all. Also, you start the first chapter, you hear noises from your basement, and you go down there and into the room that Dad says never go into, and you get sucked into a painting. Like, you're looking at a painting, and it just sucks you in, like Persona 4 style, into the TV, and you're in the painting. And do you hear voices in there? Like, because you get called down there, and you're like, oh, I hear voices calling me to the painting.
They literally
And,
think it's their mom at the beginning of the game. They're like, I hear a voice. Why does it sound like mom?
And they go into that
And
painting, they get out, Dad yells at them, locks the door. You're never going in there again. Don't do that. And then basically what happens through the rest of the game is the gameplay is you're trying to get up the rankings, and pretty much at every ranking you unlock, the princess somehow magically comes by a new painting. So you complete the rank, you get up to rank G, and she's like, hey, by the way, walk with me over to the art gallery over here, and look, I got this painting, and I hear you can go into paintings. Can you go in this painting and do stuff? So each chapter is kind of following or along. You rank up, you go in a new painting, and then you're into the next chapter. And obviously, you're doing stuff along the way.
And yeah, you
There's
know
a
what? The pacing in this one is good because that's the
yeah.
structure.
Yeah, they have a very set structure. Yeah, there's no I there you know there might have been, I think it was chapter 6, there was a thunder god that, holy cow,
Yeah.
took me forever. But other than that, like, I didn't get stuck for 5 hours in any one of these chapters. This is like a 50-hour game. Well, looking
No,
here
a
at the
lot
end
of
of
these
chapters,
chapters.
so they
Progression
were about
four,
four or
yeah.
five. But no, there was n I don't think there was any chapter that was twice as long as another one. They were all very well spread out, very well paced.
Yeah, they were very well paced, and again, it was very good at setting its expectations to the player. So you were never sitting there feeling like super confused, even with a lot of the requests. The game was pretty good about showing you what you needed to do to unlock something or craft multiple things to make the better thing.
Correct,
It
yeah,
takes
because
a
you're
while, but you
it
because you do
does.
have to experiment, and they want you to experiment. But it's easier to figure out, okay, I made this by mistake, but if I do this trait, I'm going to get something completely different in the
Yeah,
same family of things.
there's an ambitions journal that you have. That's the other thing. To rank up, you
Yes.
have to get a certain level of ambitions. You got to make enough of your ambitions because you have like your own little personal goals. Once you get enough ambitions, you're like, okay, I feel ready to go take the rank G test, take the rank, E, B, C test, and then they'll give you something. There were some times I did a lot of ambitions and I went to go do the rank test, and it was like, boom, I've already got that item. Here you go.
Yeah, I did that too.
And sometimes, like, okay, well, I never thought about doing that. Why would I have done that? But now let me go do it, and I'm done in like 20, 30 minutes. And each, you could get ranked, you could get ranked on your ranking tests because there'd always be a little bar there. And if it was like, make some brooms or whatever to give to, or magical paint brushes or something like that to give to the princess, you could literally like move, like click on one and it would show like, oh, hey, you'll minimally meet the requirements. If let me put in three. Oh, hey, that's pretty average. Or let me put in five. Oh man, you have blown this request out of the
You
water.
made
And
bank.
you made bank. Yeah. And then she'll give you some extra money or whatever for that. I will say, like, about a third of the way through the game, when I'm like, three, four chapters in, got a lot of money, doing pretty good, able to like qu craft everything. The whole like we're poor and I'm hungry still thing was
Yeah,
running out.
that
I
was
was
kind
like,
of
okay,
funny.
yep. I was like, yeah, we're 20 hours into this game. I'm doing pretty darn good. I am
I
not
just
hungry
interpreted as
and
dad
poor
was still
anymore.
stealing money. Like,
This
he was still being a thief. It's fine.
is what our account
Like,
should have, but really, we can't spend it on stuff because
really,
Dad's
it's
got a ton of other
probably in the
stuff.
negatives.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, this game also kind of makes Fierce a really good character. I can't believe I'm
Oh my
saying it
gosh,
that way.
the best one.
Yeah.
Her and that
Like,
her bow and arrow follow-up attack
oh,
was
handy as
the
shit.
best. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, because this game does something similar to, I believe it's Logi, Escon Logi, where you have characters who are in the back row who can actually provide really good support to your front row characters. And yeah, Fierce was the champ of the back row.
Hers
Like,
were
oh,
all
you used
elemental. Like if you used a fire
fire.
attack, she would like rain down the fire arrows. And she
Yeah.
would only do it once per battle per element, I believe.
Yeah.
But it was so
It's kind of
OP
heavy.
that, yep. I mean, most of the time it was like there goes half their hit points.
Yeah. I will say, like, the other side of the equation, though, all the Atelier heroines that you get in this game, they are far better equipped and more overpowered than the original characters. Like, Mathias is fine. He's fine. Alt was pretty weak. There, I found, like, having to keep Alt around, again, because you only get the same six. He was, they really did not do a good job of balancing like what makes him useful. I found he died a lot for me, and I was just like, it's Alt, he's fine. Who cares? As long as Matthias is alive, I don't care. Because at least he can actually do stuff.
Alt was pretty funny because I definitely didn't read pronouns or anything with him for a bit and
Yeah.
was like, what's this girl doing? And then probably a couple hours into it when I was like, wait, he what? Huh? What? Like he's even got like
He's
a
a
little
pinky
crop
duck
top
boy.
thing kind of almost going on.
He looks like
And the
a
way,
yeah, a little
yeah, short shorts with the, you know, the boots
he's
pulled
got
up past
cake sticking out
the
of his short shorts. Yeah, it's a little weird.
knee.
And the, like again, Alt has the same problem that Leedy has, where it's just like you look at his outfit and you kind of cringe a little bit because you're like, is this for like is this to make him look a little thirsty? Because I don't see
Oh,
it. I don't see him as a thirst
no,
trap.
not at all.
I
But
get more
there's that one
comfortable
point
because
where
he looks
he
like a
is,
little
right?
boy who is not a little boy.
Yep. And at
Turns
one
out.
point, there's what is it? All the girls are coming to his place because,
Yeah. They're all like,
yep.
we're in love with you. Amazing. And I look and I'm like, he looks like he's like, 10.
That's not the one that you
This
would think
game's
all
really
the
good at giving the inappropriate stigma. Like, everybody looks really underage, and oh shit, they actually are
They are.
underage.
It's not one of those, oh, she's actually
They're not a
600, but
thousand-year-old
looks
dragon.
12.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, or,
Oh,
again, they look like Ryza, where it's just like, girl has ample tits and big thighs, and you're like, yeah, I believe she's 20 by the end of it. It's fine.
Thaiza.
Under Thaiza. But yeah, like, getting Sophie back, Furious, having the two of them and the way in which they interact because they end up staying in the same atelier for the whole game. So you get all the shenanigans of
Oh yeah, they're
Fierce,
always
Plakta,
together.
and Sophie. And they're so funny. There's
They're in the
a scene
tent.
in the game. Yep. Anytime they're in the tent, there's always some kind of drama between all of them and the bickering. There was one scene I loved in the game, and it's where Sophie gets drunk. Because she's of age. And then you get an opposite one where Fierce gets drunk and you find out like she is a lightweight. I'm just like, oh geez. You and basically the conclusion that the twins come to is why are they drinking? They're too stupid for that. Like for such smart people, they're so stupid. I mean, Fierce's answer to everything is meat and beer. So take
From a
that for what
mining
you will.
town.
Exactly. It makes perfect
What else?
sense.
What else you got to do in the hole in the ground? I mean,
yeah.
It's true.
Although this game, what I'm on a one wiki that says that she's 15 in this game.
Furious?
Yeah.
She's not allowed to be drinking.
Well, I mean,
I mean, it's
exactly.
magical fantasy land, so who cares? Also, there's a
It's Europe, but
pirate.
they're fine.
There's a skeleton pirate in this game, and he is the best.
Oh,
I love him.
Bakken.
Bakken.
Captain Bakken.
Happen, and like you can go visit him anytime you want. He's just like, sup, girl. I'm like, why is there a pirate, skull pirate captain, but also he's the best? Why is he not a playable character?
He is cheerful and friendly. He's at the
He's the
treasury at the
best.
pot sea bottom.
I
He
love
is.
gentleman skeletons.
I do
That's my favorite
too.
trope.
I literally, when I got to back in, I messaged Matt and I was just like, you didn't tell me. And he's like, oh, what big deal? I'm like, you did not tell me how amazing he is. I did a lot of fangirling. during this game, even though, like, yeah, there's some things wrong with it, but it's fun and it knows it's being fun.
All the stuff
And
that
I,
you go to the church and do, the church is always fooling you into things.
oh, yes,
And that's a,
absolutely.
it's, you have Sister Grace there. Sister Grace, who, looks like a couple years older than the girls, but, is 55. She dropped that
Somehow.
bomb at one point. Yeah, 55.
And he's like, how do you look like you're 20?
Yep, exactly. Yeah, she looks like just a little bit older than the girls. And it's like, okay. But they always have something funny going on. She's always convincing them to help them do something for the church, and then it turns out to be something else, or the puppet
Well, it's
shows
always
end up going on there. You get an
you get
origami
the
class.
whiplash
Yes.
with Sister Grace, where it's very like, 1 minute you're like, it's so funny and it's cute and slice of life, and then she drops like a truth bomb on you where you're just like, that is so sad. And like, she gets one of the more interesting reveals as to who she's married to, which again, and the game does not hint at it well at all. Like, it's a surprise. Then you kind of
Oh
go,
yeah, that was out of
no, wait.
nowhere.
And then I thought about it afterwards and I'm like, oh, actually, I kind of see it. Like, maybe I didn't pick up all the kernels, but I kind of see it now. So there's just really interesting things that are constantly happening. Like, this game, I'd also argue, compared to the other ones, is more, it is very slice of life.
Yes.
It feels more day to day. And again, it feels more like the Arlen games in its day to day.
I was going to
It's
say,
just,
I got to
again,
know the characters in this much
yes.
better than Sophie won. And I mean, Fierce couldn't really tell you who the other
No,
fool was. And
no.
you know what?
And
We
yeah.
didn't even talk about in Fierce. There were so many places to go that you could encounter people that add to your party that you might never even met some of them. They were playable. I looked later. I'm like, oh, I never even met like those three playable characters. Oh, well, I probably
Yeah.
wouldn't put them in a party anyway, because whatever. Joining halfway through.
Yeah, no, it's true. Like, this game does a really good job of making you, also because it's also really contained to one town, which I think helps it. You
Oh,
realize
that.
there's a lot of hustle and bustle for sure, right? Like, everybody knows everybody, but everybody wants the best for everybody. But they also don't deny that there's problems, right? And I mean, looking even at the bigger story, like them looking for their mom, or sorry, like they want to basically work through the paintings in hopes that maybe they can find mom. All this stuff with their mom made me cry. It is so wholesome and sweet.
And eventually they do find mom, or like the
Yeah.
memory of mom.
Yeah.
I don't know. She's like a alternate version or the memory of mom that lives on in the painting or something like that.
Yeah. I
And
think you're right.
towards the end, there's like this blackness, the black horizon or whatever, starts like attacking the paintings and seeping in, and you need to stop the blackness from taking over so she doesn't go away again.
Yeah, no,
And
and that's
they,
art.
yeah, like, and like at the end, they reach rank S. They get to tell mom that, they kept their promise and they became the best in the land. And I just noticed this line here, and I'm like, oh yeah, that did happen. In the normal ending, 1 year later, she's actually faded away because she talks to the dad. Once you get dad to go in and see her too in this, in the last painting, like they have meetings together at some point, and you can hear things that they're talking about, not talking to the girls. And she's like, oh, I am fading away. The magic will eventually be gone. I'll be gone. And it happens later. Apparently,
And
there's a
it's
true ending
sad.
where you can stabilize her existence.
I didn't get that.
I didn't get that either. I didn't even notice that. The true ending, the twins create the pastels of unity, which stabilize her existence. And 1 year later, she's shown alongside Roger saying goodbye to the twins as they set off on a journey.
Cute, but also like sad. What did you think of like the different paintings? Because I thought there was a lot of creativity there too.
Oh, they were cool. I love the graveyard one. I think that was the
The
second
graveyard
one.
one was so fun. Yeah.
Yep.
The under
And
I
yeah,
like the
spooky
under the
graveyard.
sea one.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it was a, all the overworld stuff, because I played like a lot of other Atelier games. You see your little person go walk over and take time to get somewhere. Although there was no real time limits or anything in this game that I can recall.
No, not really.
There was a side quest board that you could make a good way to make money and whatever. And since I played the DX version, they had two repeatable side quests. that Kelly, they played like the stuff that Atlas usually puts in, you know, the really the one that gets you like a billion experience and the one that gets you like a billion gold. So yeah, there was like one of the first things that you learn to craft, some like healing patch or whatever. There would always be a quest like, hey, do you have 5 healing patches? I'll pay you 5,000 for it. So, I mean, you could really easily buy those materials, make a bunch of them, and go sell 5 of them for 5 grand every, you know, 3 or 4 days. That quest would reset. And then there
and
was
I didn't
one about,
have that.
You didn't have that. And there was a bird one that got, I didn't realize it at the time. So I only did it once and like jumped up 10 levels. I was like, whoa, okay, nope, I'm not going to do that and trivialize everything. So, but I did that. Gosh, I probably went from like level 12 to 22. So I did it really early on. And it just like for 2 chapters, I was set. I was set.
I can imagine.
I tell you what, I did that for, I think it was, yeah. Oops. I looking at my notes. One of my, my New Year's resolution to myself this year would be to take notes on every game I played. And I have 4 pages of notes on this one, chapter by chapter. There's my line in chapter 4. Oops, did a quest for mega experience. Oh no, man, I went way high. I went from level 20 to 50.
Oh god.
Oh jeez. That was even more than I remember. Now, your stats really don't go up a lot, and that's true for a lot of the Atelier games. The levels are not your big thing. It's the making better equipment through alchemy.
Uh-huh.
Like you can go up 30 experience and, you know, your attack goes up like 20. But if I make a new staff or a new gun, I might raise my attack by 40 or 50.
That's always been the way, you know, they always center it on the alchemy rather than on the stat, on the levels.
Yeah. So, I mean, raising my levels, it helped with the hit points and magic points. But in terms of damage I was doing was not a big deal. I liked, what was the, there was a painting we went into. I think it was the lava one that had like its own little world and that girl in it. And then there were like tons of copies of that girl. Oh, what was her name? Fuoco?
Do they ever explain why the paintings exist?
Magic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they just wanted a really fun concept for the game.
Well, I mean, it was a great place to, you know, you're just at this one town and everything nearby is just little woods and, you know, a couple valleys. And I mean, the environments around the town were pretty much samey. But this let you go to the ice world, to the undersea world, you know, to the volcano world. It got you out to see stuff and just really made it, it was pretty. It was cool.
It was a good conceit to kind of like tie all those disparate things together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No. I didn't know if they were like trying to lock away memories or if there was a plot reason, or it just sounds like a way to get a decent hub world going with other subworlds without having to necessarily worry about connecting them all, which is fine.
It gave a place for the memory of mom to be living in, because these are all little magical places that people painted and they came to life.
I was just kind of amused because it sounded like our game of the year, the plot of our game of the year last year a little bit, and being vague intentionally because of spoilers for that
being
game.
Purposely obscure.
Yeah, I'll give you 33 reasons why.
Well, no need to go on an expedition to figure that one out. I'm glad Sam gave this a chance. I'm glad my our homework worked out and I got to play it and she got to play it.
Yeah,
sounds like you had a good time.
I really appreciate you pushing me because, again, I had a huge period where I wasn't playing them. And then, yeah, I picked up Lalua and Sophie 2 and I was kind of getting back into it. And this was the one that was always bugging me. It was like it was one of those games where it's like I felt like I should have gave it more of a chance. And then because we scheduled this, well, it was a perfect opportunity to just actually play it. And it is such a huge step up from Sophie 1 and
Very much so.
For sure. I mean, for how incredibly like inconsistent the Mysterious series is, it also does its best to try and take risks, even if a lot of them don't pay off.
Mm-hmm.
They're not necessarily bad. They just, again, it's a good idea that just isn't executed well. And I think this game actually got most of what it wanted to do right, for sure.
It was certainly a gigantic right turn after Fearless.
Yeah, and I mean, even just the additions to the battle system, like, again, because it definitely borrows from Eska and Logi, but then it adds things like you can do the ability to make extra mixes where you can throw in an additional powerful attack, if it comes up for one of the girls,
Oh yeah.
right? And they all
That
have very
took me a
different
while to
mats.
learn that. I will
Me too.
say I felt this one I didn't master as well, but I
No, I
didn't
didn't
need to. I
either.
mean, you can just out alchemy things and whatever. I wasn't going against a lot of there were some like gods spread around in the frickin' paintings, random bonus gods that I ran into once or twice and was like, "Oh, I just fought you." And that took way too long. My damage output is not optimized, so I will not do that again. And
It's like,
I read
I'm
about
good.
some of those. Yeah, I read about it. It was like, oh, if you fight this one like 8 times, I was like, no, you lost me right there. Don't need to do that. But I wrote like on my personal notes, I said this is like a 4.5 out of 5 for me. Then again, I had the DX version, like money wasn't a problem. And so that was good to buy a lot of extra equipment and extra materials, crafting weapons with what was his name? And with the H, Hagel.
Hagel.
Always love when
Yep.
Hagel shows up. Yep.
He has the best theme music.
That was good.
Da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, we talked about it, like the characters. I kind of break it down for my own little thing. Like the crafting, this was 10 out of 10. This was perfect crafting for me. You could add things to make the sphere bigger. You could pick different things. There's so many like add-on things that you could get to, add 5 to this skill, to that skill. To open up more of the sphere, the grid, to make different colors appear on the grid, and putting the colors in these. I think you could overlap them in this one, right? You could put them on top of each other. And whereas some of the other ones, if you put a shape on top of another shape partially, the other shape completely went away. This one, they all just it's just stacked. It was like, okay, if you got a grid of 4 here and you could put another 4 where it overlaps, cool, now you've covered up 6. Whereas in, I don't know if it was Sophie or Ferris or both of those, if you had a 4 and you partially covered it with another 4, that first 4 disappeared and you were just covering 4 at that point. So that one was a lot more Tetris. This was like, just stack them all over the place. If you've got extra, it doesn't matter.
Was still fun. It was so good.
So yeah, I highly recommend this one. If you want to see what the mysterious is about, this one, or we'll talk next week about Sophie too. Those are the two. It took them a while to get there. Sophie was okay. This is our new series. Ferris was oops, but they found their footing with this one.
And as per usual for these games, like you can play them in any order. It's not really a big deal.
No, I mean, sorry.
I went Ferris this one. Let's say I went 2, 3, 1, 4.
Yeah, the only one I would say, like, please play in order maybe is the two Sophies,
Yeah,
just
I did
because the way that
that.
Sophie 2 starts, you won't have a freaking clue what's going on if you start with
Nope.
that one.
It
And you won't understand why Sophie has quite the freak out at the beginning of that
Yeah, there's definitely importance there. It was
which
named Sophie 1 and 2, so, I knew to do that.
just surprisingly unusual for an RPG sequel because JRPGs very rarely tie with each other, at least directly.
Well, and this series is notorious for not doing that. It's only been within the recent years that we've had, again, Sophie 1 and Sophie 2. And then we've had
Rises,
Ryza
three rises, yeah.
specifically be three Ryzas, because even if you go back to like the three Iris games, like they're actually all incredibly different from each other. Whereas like Sophie 1 and Sophie 2, like Sophie 2 is a direct sequel. And it's a direct sequel in every sense of the word. But oddly, it's just a better game. Like you almost sit there and go, but this first game is just fine. When you play that, it's like night and day. Which that's a different problem, but and then you play the Ryza games, and the Ryza games just consistently grow with each game. And I did like it like that about Ryza. Like, part of me would love to revisit Leedy and Sue in another way. We're going to talk about the other Bad Atelier game next week or in 2 weeks. And they are some of the funniest characters in that really Bad Atelier game. Like, Sue didn't leave my party, which tells you something.
Oh, nice.
I liked Sue in Nelki.
I'll tell you what, I've engaged with the combat so little there, I couldn't even tell you who's in my party. It's probably the first 4 or 5 that popped in, and
The game gave you. Like,
Yeah,
I'm
the
good.
game's like, I'm like, okay. I just auto battle on that one. Well, I'll complain about that next week.
So tell us
But
about
yeah.
Spiley Alchemist.
So yeah, speaking of complaining about Nelki, so we knowing that we're doing Atelier April here, I have powered through. I played Fierce last October, but that I've played Sophie 1, Sophie 2, Lydia and Sue all since Christmas, basically. So like powered through those in the past 4 months. And then a few weeks ago, I was like, all right, well, I got enough time. You know, we're talking Nelki on like the last Wednesday of the month. I've got plenty enough time to play Nelki. This isn't a very long game. And I was just completely bored by it like 3 nights in a row. And then I got an email about a Kemco game that God knows where I got the idea from. I messaged everybody that was on our Kemco episode early or last year and like, okay, who brought this game up? It had to have come up on the podcast. There's no way I put frickin' Smile Alchemist, a Kemco published game, on a wish list. Like, which one of you did this? And I started looking at it and I was like, oh, there's only like 20, 30 reviews on Steam, but they're positive. 21 reviews. 90% of these 21 people gave the review positive. And the other two people played the game for like 40 hours and then was like, no, I wouldn't recommend this. For 45.8 hours. They wrote it at 4 hours and then told me not recommended and then played for 44 more hours. I don't know how anybody played this frickin' game this long. I beat it last night on 14 hours, and I feel like it plays like a mobile game, and I can't find any record of it coming out in mobile. It's on every device. It's Xbox, PlayStation, Switch, PC. So their official website. Now they're a little independent company. I thought this was their first game, but looking on their Wikipedia, they changed names. They're Azobox Company LTD, but they were called something else and put out a cooking game like 10 years ago that pretty much plays like this. This game had, I think, seven or eight chapters. It had a chapter system, and you and start the game. And I talked about this a couple of weeks ago on RPG Cast. You start the game as this guy named Naycy, Alchemist Nake, and I'm like, what a dumbass name. I got, not all RPG people have, the most common American names, but what the heck is Nake, Naycy? Well, pretty soon on, you realize you're this kid that grew up an orphan. And actually, he read a book about a famous alchemist named Nake. So when he grew old enough to leave the orphanage, he decided to call himself Nake, become an alchemist. And he meets up with this famous alchemist named Cyan, Cyan. Well, Cyan backwards is Nake, Naycy. I'm like, oh, okay, I see what you did there. And I will say, in the first hour, there were three or four instances of just like complete wrong word usage. Like, I was like, my God, this game's gonna be terrible. Like, what the heck? That was not even close to the right word there. That doesn't mean the same. You threw an extra three letters in there and got a completely different word, different meaning. And then the rest of the game, I think it happened like once. So I was like, okay. We were talking with Pause about that. Like, somebody messed up the proofreading the first hour, and then they got with it the rest of the game. But you start out, you're not very good at alchemy. But you're training, you've got this girl that lives with him that you kind of like your sister, but you kind of find her cute. Good old Japanese stuff like that. Although, you're just being trained by this guy, your master, and you basically learn new recipes, make a little bit better stuff. You get adventurers that you can send out to gather resources. There's no battle system. It's basically just a grid of resources, and you put your little thing over the grid. And within the first hour, I realized all I have to do is hit down the A button and press to the right, and it'll just go down the lines and gather all my resources. There's no big mystery to it. I thought like I was trying to maximize like where I was touching and put together almost like Tetris pieces. Because every time, and it's a little bit roguelike in when you send Adventurer out, he can only open like three squares at a time, but after you've opened a certain amount, he can do like a 3x3 grid or a plus or 4x4 and stuff like that. So you can gather faster the more it goes. And there are, I don't know, it ends up being like six different places you can go. You can get four or five different adventures to send. At one point, I had enough built. The way I say, I think this should have been mobile. There's like a premium currency you get every time you unlock something, or I guess every few times you unlock something that's called an achievement. Almost like the Rune Factory games, everything you do in here has an achievement. Like, hey, sell 10 items, now sell 100 items, now sell 200 items, now sell 500. And each one of them gives him a little achievement. And the way the story progresses, the main story, every now and then you got to make a certain item or make a number of certain items. But a lot of it is like, oh, like I got to the last chapter last night, and you're healing someone and making this magical elixir that they told you about towards the beginning, that of course becomes you need to do it towards the end. And it was like, okay, you've done 180 achievements. Like, your master's like, go home, I'll help you with the recipe tomorrow. Well, you go home and you can't go back to his house until you've done 182 achievements. And you go there and he gives you the recipe, but you can't unlock the first ingredient until you've done 184 achievements. So it's always having you go and, you know, you get achievements for, hey, you've wandered the forest 10 times, 20 times, 45 times, 85 times. So basically everything you do, and you can pull up your achievements at any time. So a lot of times I was just looking early in the game. It's, you're way ahead of the curve, but towards the end of the game, it's like, oh man, either I need to grind a lot, or, oh wait, I need to sell 100 tools. I've sold 80. I can sell 20 more real quick. Get another achievement. And I unlocked you could unlock a dog adventure or a cat adventure later on for a great deal of the premium currency. I picked the cat because I was thinking of Kelly.
Yay.
Also, you have a little cat in your atelier that helps you. Like, anytime that you're needing to do something and a little bit stuck, you can talk to him and he's like, do you want a hint about this? Talk to him and he's like, okay, well, you need to go to here and gather this ingredient. Then this will make that. So it's got a little built-in cat helpful guide there.
Is there a difference between the cat and the dog, or are they just cosmetic?
I don't know. I ended the game with like 100 of the premium currency. I don't know why I didn't buy the stinking dog to get Nick. It was like 30. I should have done it because I could have got some achievements with him very quickly, I'm sure, because all those little people can level up and get their own little achievements. Send the cat out 30 times. Send the miner out 30 times. You get this gruff miner at one point, and they're all better at getting different kind of materials. And they all find there's always six different materials you can get in the forest if you level up the forest enough. And like three of those materials are ones that everybody can get. But then each person finds like three unique materials in the forest.
Gotcha. I imagine the cat like finds fish and string, and the dog finds sticks or.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and you know what? I wonder if they're even, I don't even think you need them, because I will say, I think the cat found all materials that I could have gotten with the ones that pop up through the story. Now at different levels, and some of them like find liquid materials, you get twice as many liquid materials, or, you know, 1.2 as many rock materials, and all the little stuff you can spend money or skill points to level up all these little people. I mean, it really made me think of like Rune Factory, where every freaking thing had its own little level, and just doing anything enough boosted that level. And I mean, it was an enjoyable 14 hours. Like, I just kept punching through it. It was never too hard. There was some, there's interesting town requests. There's only four locations in the entire game. There was your house. There was the tavern where you sent out adventurers, where you sold stuff. And a lot of things were on countdowns, too, which I was like, my goodness, why is this not a mobile game? But who knows? Maybe it was in Japan, but they didn't bring it over here as such. And you had cheering abilities. I didn't get it for $5. I got it for $10. It's normally $20. And I think it routinely goes on sale for $10, probably less than that. And that's on Switch. And I bet you it goes on sale, you know, $7 or $5 on Steam.
Okay. But
it was a fun little, you know what? Nelky was pissing me off. because it was just in a menu game. Well, then I went to this, and this was just a menu game. So.
Yeah, but it sounded like at least it was like a quicker distraction.
Yes, yes. And, you know, it was moving. Like I said, it was 8 chapters in 14 hours, and I probably could have gone faster. I got obsessed with, they give you, like I said, there's like almost little experience or counter thing for everything. When you make a new item, it says, ooh, you should sell 15 of these at the store. And if you sell 15 at the store, you get a bonus. So, I mean, even as I was getting all these recipes and spending tens of thousands of gold to buy recipe books later on in the game, I'd get one. It was like, you should sell 50 of these. I'm like, ooh, to sell 50, I need to make at least 50 of this and at least 30 of this. Let me go back and send my people out a few more times. So it kept that gameplay loop was really fast, and it felt like it was fast to send out an adventurer and to do a whole adventure little thing was like 30 seconds. It wasn't a problem. And you could cheer your adventurers on. So if they were getting tired, you could cheer them on for a little bit. And if that power ran out, when you went back to the tavern, the lady there at the tavern would sell meals that could refill your stuff. And I mean, pretty quickly, those meals were minimal amounts of money. She's like, oh, you want a sandwich for 600 that'll fill up all your counters? And I'm like, okay, I've got 38,000 gold. 600 is pennies. Yes, let's do that.
$10 so, on Switch right now, by the way.
Yeah. Wow. It's been on sale. I think it's been on sale ever since I bought it like 14 days ago. So it was a good palate cleanser. I will go back to Nelki now and finish that before our next podcast. I thought it was funny. I've been calling it a Kelly Kemko for a couple weeks. Dalandar, I know Dalandar won't listen to this anyway, but he was very mad at me because he's like, listen, man, there's so many good indie games out there. I can't believe you picked this.
I mean, this one sounds like a cute little game. I like the art style a lot.
Yeah,
I'm kind of thinking the same thing. Yeah.
Yep. I told him, I said, I didn't want an indie game with like interesting stuff. I just wanted a fast, you know,
palate cleanser.
Yeah, this was bread. I didn't want an interesting indie game that made me think. This game did not make me think. This just made me want to do numbers go up. Numbers go up. Numbers go up. Yep. It was Alchemy Musso.
Perfect.
I want to make 95 staffs at a time. I want to make 100 pearls at a time. And then I want to go sell all of them and make 80,000 gold and buy 3 more recipes.
You know, I am genuinely surprised that there is not an Atelier Musso game yet, given the company that company owns.
I mean, yeah, companies.
Sophie has appeared in a couple of the Musso games, like the Musso All-Stars.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
She's been in it. So that's something.
Just the idea, All-Stars. Though, of...
Hey, maybe next time, instead of a menu game like Nelki, we get a real Musso game that everybody can go in.
Mm-hmm. And just kill all the poonies?
Kill all the poonies. Oh, yeah. Like
poonies die.
This is Dragon Quest Heroes, like, to the T. Like, Atelier Heroes.
Yeah, you craft bombs and stuff and can use them and...
Give me Sue with bigger. My... dual guns out there. Pow, 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 pow.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because I think the Hyrule Warriors, the most recent Hyrule Warriors one sort of had an item system that you would use. So you kind of apply the same principle to an Atelier Musso game.
Oh, I mean, you would... I think you got... I'm trying to think. Dragon Quest Heroes 2 had something. There was some sort of, like, merchant that you could merge things together.
Yeah.
I believe. But I mean, hey, that you could make that a much bigger part. They've done such a great job with making the Zelda Musos feel like a Zelda game, and the Dragon Quest ones feel like a Dragon Quest game, and the Fire Emblem ones got the, you know, your triangle and the relationship stuff. Like they know their source material and do it very well.
I don't know. Maybe it's one of those things where there's the Atelier audience and the Musso audience are very separate in Japan.
Could be. Could be. I mean, it feels like Japanese Joe just needs to go knock on the door of the cubicle next to him and be like, hey, I do Atelier, you do Musso.
Like,
let's get this together.
That sounds like peanut butter and celery to me, but some people don't like that combination. Bringing it back around to pre-show.
There you go.
Also, Liddy and Sue are also $40 on all of the consoles. Well, I think Switch, Steam, and PS4, I don't think any of these are on Xbox. But once again, they go on sale for $20 all of the time. And they also have the bundle to buy all 3 of them for $90. But I would honestly wait for the $20 sale.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because that's not a bad price for
I just bought the Smile Alchemist.
Yay, that makes me smile.
There you go.
Dalandar's gonna spray you like a bad cat, too.
And you know what? He knows he can't fight me. He knows I can take him.
I just don't think that Kimco has all bad stuff, but that's also a very controversial opinion on this site.
Look, the only ones I've played are bad, so this is me
like
giving
I said, this is
shot.
Not, you know,
not developed, published. There's
correct.
A difference.
Kimco's got their, like, two or three developers that develop like 95% of the games, and then, you know, there's these very small studios that are like, hey, will you publish my game, please?
Yeah.
And this is one of the decent ones. Like we were saying, I don't know if we said this pre-show or during this, but this was right there with like Adventure Bar Story or the Marianne Tavern Story, Patty and the Hungry God. And then the, what is it? The Blacksmiths of the...
Blacksmith of the Sand Kingdom.
That's it. As a matter of fact, I just got a message today that one's back on sale. And I was like, I just played Smile Blacksmith, so I'm not going to do that.
Like, I'm good.
Yep.
Maybe some other time.
They're along the same. They've got some turn-based battles in them, the Ridian games. So they're a little bit more involved in this, but those battles are not hard. And you're mainly just making food. And I'm sure the Blacksmith one, you're making stuff as a blacksmith, selling it, and that's your gameplay loop.
I
enjoyed. Yep. So, little palate cleanser alchemy.
Well, are we ready for the rounds? It sounds like we're ready for the round table.
We are ready to round it up with that.
And this is what I'm going to go, because I'm getting sleepy. But I was here for the important part, and I did the whole thing.
Thank you very much, Sam.
You're welcome. No, it's always a pleasure, guys. Thank you again for having me, and I'll see you in 2 weeks, for sure.
Sleep
when we talk
well.
About the other stuff. You too. Take care, guys. Bye.
Bye.
And we will be back after a brief musical interlude. And welcome back to RPG Backtrack, where we are now getting into our feelings, our memories, our favorites, our least favorites for Atelier Fyrus and Liddy and Sue. That being said, did you guys have a favorite or funniest moment from either game or both?
Like I said, I don't know if it's a good moment. I was kind of going back through my posts here in the last few minutes and trying to remember some stuff, especially from Fyrus. It's been 9 years. And I was like looking at my post, and I obviously only played the game for a week before I got really upset with all the crashes. And it's just like me complaining about all the crashes. I only got like 40-day in-game days into the game. But the funniest thing is like some of the, I don't think we talked about it. I guess they may have cleaned this a little bit up in the DX version, Matt, but I know when it first came out, it had some like weird translation issues. And I'm like seeing stuff like bandages that were just translated as no dash doc. And I'm just like, I'm like tweeting about how it like took me forever to figure out what that was a bandage, and that's what I needed to do to like solve the little side quest.
Have the icon of the little wrapper or
yeah but it's just kind of like a square folded onto itself.
Okay.
Was like, what is that?
Why will this not, it, I can't pick it up. It says I go to no doc and it says on barrelwisdom.com, which is like an Atelier wiki, that it's under fierce items, but when I click on it, there's a puny there and it says no, the puny, it's the server puny died. There's barrel wisdom's dead right now.
That's weird.
The whole website's dead. But yes, apparently that was still called that. And yes, it looks like a dish towel that's been folded twice.
Yeah.
So, I mean, will you know that that's a healing bandage? No.
Yeah.
A piece of cloth, basically.
If it looks more like a dish towel, then yeah, I can see how that would be confusing. It's just a lot of iconography like seems kind of universal like that, but...
Here's your items in the healing thing. No doc, Ertonia salve, breezy aroma. You know, breezy aroma, that always heals you. Honey syrup, nectar of life, and elixir of law. Law? It's law, but with a couple other A's in there. So
yeah, that's weird.
Interesting.
Unintentional comedy.
Apparently, that was still called this in a. Oh no, this is Furious again. Okay, so yeah, they probably never changed the name of that. No Doc. Yep, Tip, you can synthesize No Doc to pass the time. Yeah.
What about you, Matt?
Now, I'll say Furious. I not that it was all bad for me. Like I said, I think it was like a 3.325. I don't really have any like awesome memories from there. But again, I started taking my notes. I started taking my notes, knowing that we're gonna be talking about all these with Liddy and Sue, and I've got a good one here, and I remember this, and I'm like, oh my god, I knew I wrote this down for a reason. So, I mean, there's all little cutscenes. All the Atelier games always have cutscenes all the time. There's always, like, an asterisk above somebody, or you pop up to them, and goes into a cutscene. So, Lucia is your cousin in Liddy and Sue. You find out, like, halfway through, your rival's actually your cousin. She's like, oh, you didn't know your dad and my dad are, like, brothers? And you're like, what? Deadbeat? He never told us that. Well, at one point, she gives the prince, Matthias, some medicine. She kind of goes over and, like, sneakily locks the door to her atelier and forces him to drink it. And it makes him feel better, but she warns of, like, dangerous side effects. And he's like, all right, well, whatever. So a couple days later, you run into him out where he normally is, and a second cutscene starts to play. And she walks up and tries to apologize to him. And he's really mad at her. And you see her, like, sulk away. And then he starts to think bad, and he calls her back. The animation of her running back is three times the speed. Like, her little sulking away is so slow, and then instantly, zip, right back to him. I laughed just with that animation. And then it wasn't even over, because he agrees to, like, drink a potion that she's like, listen, I'm sorry, you know, have this potion. I think I got it all fixed out. You know, you know, no side effects, whatever. And when she says thank you to him for taking the potion, her head turns towards the camera, and that little glint, you know, like how animators put glints in the eye, mm-hmm. shines, and he turns into a poony. It was great, from the running to the just the slow turn and the glint in her eye. Like, oh god, this is great. Because, yeah, I mean, she is definitely the antagonist for the first few chapters of the game, because her atelier is packed and they're rich and you can't buy food. And so it's funny when that happens.
So do you guys have a favorite character?
I think we agree on this. Go for it, Matt.
I would say in the Liddy and Sue L game, it was Furious. Like, she was great. Like, and just everybody, I felt all the characters were really good in that game. But in terms of, like, the battle system, Furious was just great. And yeah, she was, like, always hungry for meat and talking about this and that. She was just, and all the funny things, except for what I just talked about, a lot of the funny things happened in her tent with her and Sophie and stuff. So I felt like Furious was a big star of Liddy and Sue L. And in Fierce's game herself, I found her sister, who was, like, inappropriately always loving, and she's so cute. Although I feel like the sister was actually ratcheted up in Liddy and Sue, because every time you'd go talk to the sister, she's like, oh, have you seen Fierce lately? She's so adorable. I just want to squeeze her. She wasn't quite that over the top in the Fierce game.
Yeah, yeah. She was just protective, but not,
correct.
Not,
yeah.
No, I totally agree, though. You know, not that I got very far in Furious. And I think that's part of the reason I enjoyed Furious in Liddy and Zool, was, like, the Furious game kind of left me with such a, like, bad taste in my mouth. It was nice to actually spend time with Furious and get her fleshed out in a way that was, you know, fun to experience.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Yeah, it was just like, oh, I raced through her game, and it was just, I need to hurry up and become a licensed alchemist. That was it.
Get through
that
this.
Was it. Yep.
Get to the other side of the map. Be done.
Yep. So, I mean, yeah, her goal was the same as mine. Let's be done.
You could get done. Playing on the Vita, it just crash after every 30 minutes.
Yeah, correct.
Sad.
That would piss me off so bad.
And you know what? Like, going back and reading and hearing from you guys, because I have these, I've got all the games, you know, Kel and I, we've got our black market Vitas with everything on it. And
they fell off of the back of a truck.
Yep. These games all fell off the back of the truck onto my Vita, or at least the first two. But I paid $90 to buy these three games, like, physical for Switch, because I knew there'd be a couple that I enjoyed, and it was worth it.
No, I bought the whole series on the eShop. I just black marketed the Vita ones. 'Cause I mean, I guess the store is still up, but it's a bitch to buy anything on it.
Yeah.
And it's like, Gus, I gave you like $200 when I bought all of those games. But
Oh yeah,
regardless.
I've bought almost everything. Next year I'll do Arland. I know we already talked Arland, but we'll probably be talking Resliriana and we just mentioned
You
her name.
me up. You me up.
Yumia next year. That'll be our Atelier April next year. Either whether it's one or two shows, but we'll talk those next year, and I'll play some Arland and keep going back in time.
Yeah, I need to pick up that Resliriana. God, I'm gonna butcher that name if we do that backtrack.
I'm not sure I got it right. I just whipped it out right there.
Just be confident.
Resliriana.
Go for it.
Yep. I can't even
I
think
keep
what they call her in the game that's short. Like, they always have their.
Resi.
Golly. Might be
Res?
Rihanna. Surely not Rihanna.
Because I keep.
That'd be too crazy.
Resliriana. Yeah, what is the Red Alchemist? I can't think of what they call her. I review the game.
But no, I keep seeing it on sale on Amazon for around 35, but it hasn't quite hit impulse buy price yet.
Resna, that's what.
Resna.
Yep.
So we'll see how that goes. But aside from numerous crashes from your Twitter memories, do you guys have any memories tied with this game or with either game rather?
Yeah, it was definitely. I think the Vita part of it was one of the strongest memories. I think it was one of the last games I played on Vita. With just how bad it was, it was like, oh man, boy, the Vita really is. Is coming to the end here. We're getting the no effort ports that don't work. Oh. I went
R.I.P.
definitely. I try to at least play one game on my Vita every year, and I've got a chart in my room of like what I want to play this year, and I'm kind of like, I don't know if it's gonna be a Vita year. There's too much good stuff on other stuff that I haven't played, so maybe not back this year. But I went back and looked, and Furious, I remember doing this like very quickly. We had a 3-day weekend at some point in October, and I remember I think we had like Friday off. I started on a Thursday and I beat it Monday night. I was like, we got a 3-day weekend. I'm going to start a little early. 5 days, beginning to end, 15 hour or 18 hours over 5 days. And honestly, I think one of those days was just like almost 7 or 8 hours straight, just like woke up and didn't get out of bed till 2 in the afternoon and just plowed through. And I'm like, I'm getting so close to this. Lydian Swell, I was right after Christmas. I finished up with Pokemon, our latest Pokemon. I guess not latest, but the what did we have last year?
ZA.
ZA, yeah. So finished up Pokemon ZA, I think like Christmas Day or the day right after, started this up right after and played through mid-January. So this was basically my Christmas break game. It was a blast and got me. I was like, all right, I am ready to do all my Atelier homework this year. Furious was kind of like bleh. But this one got me ready to go. And then Smile Alchemist, I played between our last two podcasts. I think I bought it the night of our April 1st podcast, and here we are 14 days, 15 days later. And I finished it last night. So my memories are get through this because I want to talk about it. Why not? Throw it into Atelier April.
Awesome. Well, we will be continuing Atelier April in a pair of weeks where we're gonna do both Sophie games. And this is where I
And
got confused because I was convinced that Sophie was last, and technically it is, but the sequel is last.
not chronologically, but release-wise, yes.
Yeah. Because I'm sorry, these three games were so off of my radar. I was kind of burnt.
Yes.
Atelier burned out too. I played a little bit of Sophie. As a matter of fact, it was one of my first bonding experiences with Andy because I started the site in 2016, coming up on my 10-year anniversary. And I had bought Sophie at one point, and Andy had bought Sophie, and that one was very vague. I was like helping Andy out, trying to figure out stuff, and I will get more into that next week. But yeah. That being said, a belated thank you to Sam who had to bail for bedtime, Thank you, Josh and Matt, for hanging out with us tonight.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
And of course, thank you to the dear listener for also hanging out with us tonight. We will be back for the second part of Atelier April and the second part of the Mysterious series. So you can look forward to that. Have a good rest of your week, and we shall chat at you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.